This is the Canucks Central Postgame Show.
Here's a chance in front. Tyler Myers up in the play. Rebound. Besser scores. Brock Besser on the left wing. Tucks a rebound into the yawning cage. After it was centered from behind the goal by DeBrusque, Myers whacked at it and it fell to Besser. And he gives the Canucks a 2-0 lead. As the Canucks win a faceoff, they score. Kiefer Sherwood right off the draw, right circle. Rips it past Samuel Ersson, and it's 3-0 Canucks.
With instant reaction from the players and coaches.
Maybe criticized is too strong of a word, but one of the areas that they certainly could improve with the roster coming into the year, then that would be quite a nice find for us. Frost drives left wing, right to the goal, stopped by Lankinen and in tight. Or rather, it was off the right wing boards for Morgan Frost.
Have your say on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Canucks shut out the Flyers 3-0 to pick up consecutive wins. Now have 5 games in the books, 6 points in those 5 games, and this is the Canucks Central Post Game Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Satyar Shah with Big Nazar. Get your thoughts into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. We are going to bring in Brett Festerling into the conversation in just a moment. Kevin Lankinen getting his third start for the Canucks, his third straight win, and this time he does it with a shutout. And hey, listen, he was fantastic. Some good luck going his way too with the Flyers not capitalizing on their opportunities. But the Canucks maybe should have won a couple of games early where they coughed up. This one, they hang on to win. And listen, nobody cares how you finish it at the end of it. It's all about getting the points. And right now, the Canucks have really got themselves out of a small little early hole of the campaign with back-to-back wins.
Playing 600 hockey all of a sudden. It can go so fast. You were playing 400 a minute ago. Now you're playing 600 hockey. And yeah, it in the last game, you know, for me, I said on the show, it felt like there was a reclaiming of their identity a little bit. And one of the first texts we get here into the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. Now, this is 2023-24 Canucks hockey. The way they skated with Philly the whole night and played a solid road game took Philly, the crowd, out of the game early.
Yeah.
They just played a comprehensive game. And, yeah, it required a little bit of luck with some posts. And it did get a little bit loose there at the start of the third period. But
and
you knew a team was going to push.
Yeah. Even in the second, early in the second, they were a bit loose. Then they took the 3-0 lead. And after that, the Flyers pushed a little bit as well. But, hey, they were still able to preserve the shutout at the end. And that's all that matters. So let's bring in Brett Festerling into the conversation. You know, obviously, it's a big win for the Canucks. I know the head coach, even after their last win, Brett, he wanted them to be tighter and a bit better defensively. So I'm not sure that message changes, but it's a lot easier to get guys' attention, isn't it, when you start having some success?
Yeah, when the game's fun, it's way easier to buy in, and winning's fun. It comes down to that. So I think the message stays exactly the same. And you've carried some of that forward, and I think you saw a lot of positives tonight in terms of improving some of that D-zone or wall battles and communication, sorting guys out. But, that looked a lot more fun tonight.
The final 10 minutes of that period were kind of a contrast to the first 10 minutes of that period because, you know, naturally the team trailing, especially at home, is going to give something. But that was like a perfect final road 10 there with the lead.
Yeah, they just worked it around. There was that shift, I believe, with Bluger, Sherwood, and Heinen where they were just pretty much rimming the puck. Might have been Sprong's line there where they're just going back and forth and eating up. And then Philly just couldn't get it out. So just good puck management, keeping it out of their zone. Even when they did get some pressure against, it seemed like everybody collapsed, boxed out, got sticks. And when Lankinen needed to be there, I thought he was really good.
Yeah, I thought so too. I mean, Lankinen's been very steady so far, and it's 3 games for him, 3 victories. And I know early in the season, they probably want to get Shilov's worked in, but I think at this stage, hey, things can change pretty quickly, but he does seem like the guy they should be kind of leaning on more, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things you ride the hot hand a bit, and it definitely went to, you know, I think anytime you get in a goalie alternate situation, you know, if a guy starts playing well and gets some wins, it's just hard to take him out. That's what his goal is make it a hard decision for Tocchet. And we talked about that, I think, through training camp and into preseason is now they got some tough decisions, and Lankinen wants to make that decision for them tough, and I think he's done that here in the last couple performances.
All right, let's go through some highlights here then through that game. We'll start with the goals, basically. When you're looking at the Hoglander goal, the pass by Elias Pettersson is going to take some headlines, but what'd you like about it?
Well, the thing I like the most about it is the Petey back check right before that. That's what creates it. Like, that to me, that's what I love. But I mean, I am the meat and potato D-man, so I'm gonna love that part. Yeah. But and then obviously that gets it going the other way. Garland does some fabulous work. He's been, you know, Garland-like, doing, seems like he's doing that every night, but it's so important. He works it, gets it back to the point, back to Garland, and Garland makes that amazing pass. So I think Garland does a lot of work undercover, under the hood on that one. And then Petey with the back check and then getting into that soft zone. Obviously, that was a beautiful pass. And Hoglander's not going to get too many easier ones than that.
No, I mean, it was an easy feed, easy play for Pettersson to make, and a lot of attention at him, of course, from the Flyers players because of it being Pettersson in the slot, and he just slides it over to Hoglander's score. And he had a couple chances in the second period where he wasn't able to score himself. You mentioned he made the good defensive play. Where do you think his game is at? He picks up the assist. Do you think he's trending in the right direction?
I think so. I'd like to hear what you guys think, and I know you're going to talk about a lot tonight, but seemed like there's some more energy with that line. It might just be Hoglander and Garland doing their own thing, and then Petey, you know, benefiting from some of their kind of rebounds or excitement or energy. Even what I do like, and this isn't, you know, an individual play, but it's Garland actually goes offside when Petey gets it in the third period. And I kind of like that Garland's going offside there because it's just pushing Petey to have that extra step, to get that extra gear, to keep up, to go. And I think that's when he's his best, is when he does have that jump and he's making those aggressive moves and skating and get up ice. So the fact that he's with those two guys that have that energy, that are going north and want to be kind of little, you know, buzzsaws in there, I think it pushes Petey to get in there and support. And then those guys just supporting all over the ice seem to get a lot of speed and momentum by close support but still skating through it. So I really like those three, and that in turn made Petey's game better tonight, I believe.
What have you noticed from Hoglander so far this year? It's the second goal in the early part of the season. The shot looks improved, but he scores today similar like how he did last season. But is there a part of his game in your mind that's rounding out and giving him more validity in the top six?
I've kind of liked his wall battles, to be honest with you. The like little plays supporting to that center, and I think it has a lot to do with centerman supporting. But I feel like he might have lost more of those last year, or had some certain turnovers on blue lines, and he just seems confident and strong in those areas now, where he is making plays into the middle for guys to support, which I think just leads to more momentum and carrying through. So that's what I've liked about his game on the D side. And then offensive side, yeah, the grind game, the getting pucks back, the quick wall battles, which we heard talk about in the behind the bench with Batch before the game. He is quick, and they had a couple cycles tonight where they got relieved pressure in a corner, and then they attacked the net, and that was one of the PD opportunities in the second, where they come off the wall, but then they attack the net. Petey's going high slot. One of them's behind. So just the fact that they're working off each other and winning wall battles, but then attacking to the net, not necessarily staying on the outside perimeter, rimming it around to the D-men on the far side. They're attacking those nets, and those guys are so skilled in those little areas that I think they can have a lot of success there.
Let's spend a moment on Tyler Myers, who played his 1,000th game in the NHL tonight, becoming the 400th player to get to 1,000 games in the National Hockey League, a very underrated stat like Dan Riccio was debating or was arguing passionately before the game. I think we all agree with it. I thought he was very solid tonight. What about that pass he made to Brock Besser on the Besser goal? We weren't sure he made a pass initially, but after watching the tape, you can see he's making a real nice backhand, no-look pass to Brock Besser, who makes no mistake with it. What did you think of the way he played tonight?
Yeah, I thought he was fantastic. And, you know, there's a reason he's been in the game so long, is because he still has it. And that was a beautiful pass. I didn't see that originally. I didn't see it till the highlights in between periods there. And he's just a smart player, and he's adapted. And we were talking about, and they actually talked about it on the panel tonight, about how he was an offensive puck-carrying defenseman to start his career, and then he learned how to play the game on the defensive side better and be that physical force and maybe take some of the offensive away, but be a consistent, solid player. And he's been that for 1,000 games. And the way he played tonight, he plays big. He still skates up and closes gaps really well. I thought his gaps were really good tonight. There was multiple rushes where Philly gets shut down before they even get to the red line. They don't even get a chance to really dump it in because, one, he's got good gap, but that long stick with that good gap just shuts so many opportunities down. So I thought he played great. It's got to feel so good to get a point and a win on your 1,000th game. And we were talking on a thing. Do you guys think the silver stick will be longer? They got to give him a longer silver stick, right?
You got to add an extra couple of inches to it, 100%.
Right? Actually, yeah. You know, look, this is a sicko behavior I've been admitting here, but I was reading the CBA a few weeks back, and it does literally say the gifts can't be over $25,000. So if the stick is bigger, more silver, I don't know, like, would that put you over the cost limit for the gift you can give him?
Maybe. Well, the guys usually do it in the room. They do a gift, like, through
right.
the players. So maybe instead of getting them, like, a Rolex or a painting or whatever they do, fishing trip,
yeah.
they just donate to the silver and get the stick longer. When I played, I'm trying to think. I think we had 5 or 6 guys hit 1,000 games, and then I was a rookie coming in, and it's kind of like a $500 to $1,000 ahead. But I'm a rookie coming in, making the bare minimum, and then we hit 5 or 6 guys, and I got $3,000 going out the door right off the bat for these presents, for guys that are like Pronger, that have made so much money and have so much stuff. It's like, yeah, Pronger needs a Rolex here. Let me get over this $1,000.
Let me fork over. Yeah. I got $1,000 when I'm playing like 15 games this year, right?
Hey, really quickly on Myers, he had a 1,000th game power because the fastest skater tonight was Tyler Myers at 23.35 miles an hour. Next closest was Bobby Brink at 22.5. Also led the game in time of ice at 22.5 as well. So huge game from him.
Yeah, that's a great the game sheet. To put up there, game sheet, put those stats on and put a frame on it. That's impressive. Good for him.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, as far as Eric Brännström is concerned, I put a question out on Twitter, and people are responding in terms of who was the most impressive player tonight. And of course, lots of Lankinen responses, and Myers and some other guys got it. And we'll get to Sherwood coming up in a second. But as a defenseman, watching Eric Brännström, who's trying to find his way on a new team and trying to fit in with the Canucks style of play, what did you see from him tonight?
Really like his skating. Like, you've heard that he's a smooth skating defenseman, but it really stands out to me. Very smooth on the defensive side because he closes the gaps really well in terms of his speed, being able to kind of get up there and smoothly take it back. I thought him and Darnay actually played really well together. There was a few, where Brännström would skate it, run out of options, use his skating to evade, but then had the support by Darnay and would use him. So I thought those two played well together, which is a positive because I think that third line's been critiqued quite a bit here in the first 5 games. And then his skating, obviously jumping up. And yeah, that's pretty much what I saw from him tonight. I'd like to watch more on the offensive side. There was a couple times he walked the line, got shut off, and ended up throwing a backhand down. I think he has a skating ability to be more evasive up there. But I also think he's trying to guard against taking too much risk because that's kind of the knock against him, is that maybe he's too much offensive and gives up too much. So for not practicing and not going through camp with this team, I think he's played pretty well in the 2 games we've seen him.
Do you make much of what the chances look like against tonight from Philly? Were there more like just individual creation by Philly, or was it something structurally you thought, hey, maybe they should have got a goal because they obviously hit so many posts, they had some chances there. Was it something that the Canucks were giving them opportunities to do, or was it just tip of the hat to Philly?
I think a lot of it was tip of the hat to Philly. I mean, it's a game of mistakes, right? They're like, you're never going to play a game and the team you're playing not get an opportunity. The biggest chances I can think of were maybe details in terms of when Brännström and Darnay tried to get a change in the second and ended up getting whacked over. I think Konechny hit the post on that.
That was Soucy and Myers, but yeah.
Okay, but like those kind of opportunities. Yeah. And then defensive structure, I thought it was pretty good tonight. What I liked about the defensive structure tonight was not only the X's and O's, meaning they're in the right position, but guys closing the gaps on their actual assignments. I think that's been a really big problem in the first three games, is guys back in position but not necessarily focused on who their man is and their assignment in terms of keeping them in front of you or closing those gaps or having sticks. And I think you saw that from the D-men boxing you out, getting sticks, forwards closing the gap on their D-men so that they can jump on pucks or loose pucks faster. And then turn that, just to me, they looked faster breaking out because of that.
Kiefer Sherwood has made his mark as far as his forechecking goes, his physicality. He's been good on the PK, and he finally flashes his shot and gets a goal for the Canucks tonight. How do you think he's starting to fit in with this team?
Yeah, he's definitely making himself noticeable. Like 10 hits last game. I don't know what he finished with this game, but he was everywhere in terms of getting in scrums, hitting guys, forechecking. I really liked that line tonight. I thought they were very effective and got a lot of forechecks and a lot of ozone draws for the Miller line, because they would break it out, create havoc or dump the puck, and then get the whistle, and then Miller would come over the bench and they would get their opportunity. So I thought they were very effective that way. He's a pest. Like, even in the third, I don't know if you guys saw him, Philly had the puck behind the net, stopped, and he stopped in front of Ersson, and he whacks him on the pad. Ersson puts his hand up, but yeah. So unnecessary. You're up 3-0 in the third.
But you so necessary at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. But like, it makes me love Sherwood that much more.
Yeah, 100%. There's a lot of spice to his game. He's a lot of fun to watch. And great stuff as always, Brett. We love anytime you step in here and getting some love on the text inbox. Brandon and Poco says, Brett Festerling does a great job, but he does sound like Tony Robbins as well. So you also sound like a motivational speaker in terms of being a good analyst.
Tony Lando's getting his dad and Kermit, and I get who was I getting?
Tony Robbins.
Yeah. Tony Robbins, the big like motivational speaker.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not Tim Robbins, not Shawshank.
I can't tell. Is that good?
No, he's got a great voice. He's got presence. Yeah. You know, he's got energy. It's fantastic. It's great.
Okay. Right. I'll take it.
Hey, Brett, man, fantastic as always, dude. We look forward to chatting with you again soon.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys.
That is Brett Festerling. Called the game alongside Brendan Batchelor, a 3-0 Canucks win in Philly against the Flyers here tonight. And, you know, when you look at how the Canucks have played defensively too, there were some moments that weren't great. So I'm really curious to hear what the coach has to say about what he saw here tonight. But one thing that was very good, though, was it was pretty boring the final 10, 12 minutes, but the Canucks essentially iced the game. They got back to just suffocating the Flyers, not giving them anything, and essentially running clock for 12 minutes.
The way it breaks down per Natural Stat Trick, they credit the Flyers with 7 high dangers, 6 for the Canucks themselves. So fairly even. I feel like it should tick up probably a little bit for both sides. But nevertheless, just kind of shows you where it is. If they grade it themselves, I'm sure they'll end up somewhere between, you know, 9 to 10, which is probably where they want to be. So again, the last 10 minutes is what you're going to want to focus on if you're trying to build a positive, that they really salted that one away. But the Flyers did come out in the early go, and the Canucks weather that storm and get some help, obviously, with some posts and whatnot, the odd bounce. But nevertheless, they get their 2 points. 650, we got time for a text?
We have time.
650, Glenn from Ottawa, I think referring to what Brett was just talking about there with Kiefer Sherwood. Sherwood's big grin every time he's stirring things up in the offensive zone must drive the opposition crazy. Love the guy already, and we've been mentioning his stats tonight, how he just filled up the box score. Kiefer Sherwood, 5 shots. He had 2 other attempts. It just got adjusted. I think he gets credited with 9 hits tonight.
9 hits?
Yeah.
So he has 9.
It went from 5. We just saw it a minute ago. It was 5, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So it just got adjusted to 9. We'll track that, see if it stays.
We'll see, because sometimes they make mistakes. But if that's the case, and Jake DeBrusk had 7, that's 16 hits from the 2 new Canuck players.
Desharnais had 6 himself.
Yeah.
So again, and then throwing a block shot for Kiefer Sherwood. And again, it's 11 minutes and 52 seconds.
Yeah.
So a goal, 9 hits, 7 shots attempt, a block shot, a giveaway. But that is an active 12 minutes of work from Kiefer Sherwood tonight.
When he also did the same thing the other night, right? Mm-hmm. He had 10 hits, and he's been very physical. And tonight, there's a bottom line getting that goal as well. And I think that's very, very solid. Keep getting your thoughts into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. Let's take one phone call before the break. Let's go to New York City. Don't want to make Bikram wait too long. Bikram, you're on the line. Thanks for calling in. What are your thoughts here tonight?
Thanks, guys, for letting me hop on. I know I was in Toronto before, but now I'm in New York, and I've been cooking just like the Canucks management team. Just look at this Langland deal here. So I apologize if I pronounce it incorrectly. But it's very, very good to see that the management team has put on some good contracts that we're getting really good value out of. And I feel like DeBrusk has also been playing quite well. Just wanted to know what you guys' thoughts on. I haven't heard much on it, so I'll hang up and listen. Thanks for you guys' chat time.
Hey, thanks for the phone call. I thought DeBrusk tonight was very solid. I thought him with Miller and Besser. We'll talk about Miller coming up in a little bit because he left the game for a couple of minutes off the opening faceoff. Looked like he pulled something in his left arm, upper body, and he did not take another faceoff the rest of the game. Do I have that right?
He took one.
He took one more.
It was in the third period, but I don't know
more.
If it was he was designed to take it. Maybe had to go in.
So he took the opening faceoff, and it took one more faceoff the rest of the game, which was in the third period. That tells you there's something wrong there for him not to take a face-off. We'll see if the coach gives us any indication. Of course, JT Miller, before the season began, had some issues in preseason. That's why he only played the one preseason game with an undisclosed ailment of some degree, even though he kept practicing every day. So I think that line was missing JT Miller at his best. But as far as them being a trio, I thought DeBrusk did a lot of good work tonight in terms of the forecheck. I thought he did a really good job. Obviously, he got an assist on the Besser goal. He makes a pass to Myers, who then first tries to swipe it into the goal, then passes the no-look behind the back pass to Besser. But I thought he was physical. I thought he forechecked well. And defensively, I thought he made some good plays. So I was happy with how DeBrusk played tonight.
Yeah, winds up being 4 points now on the season, all by way of the assist. It's, he's brought in to score goals, be a running mate. I do want to see what a goal looks like for Jake DeBrusk. But nevertheless, providing a bottom line, right? If you're going to play in the top six, you got to be able to produce some points. And he's got four now through five games, which is encouraging to see the early returns. And as the caller was mentioning, they've got some decent value on some deals here. When it comes to Lankanen, obviously his shutout, and DeBrusk providing some points as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Keep getting your thoughts into our text inbox, 650-650. We'll take more of your phone calls on the other side as well. Marcus and Gibson says, Lank the Tank has got us going streaking. That's good. A good reference. Good old school reference from Marcus and Gibson's. All right, we'll get to more of your reaction on the text inbox, more of your phone calls. We'll hear from the head coach and more analysis after a 3-0 Canucks win in Philly against the Flyers. You are listening to the Canucks Central Postgame Show, brought to you by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Let Kubota do your heavy lifting. Visit them online at dleamc.com. More coming up next on Sportsnet 650.
Hey, it's Vic Nizar. Have your say and join me on the People's Show with big takes and even bigger bets. Weekdays 3 to 4 on Sportsnet 650 or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is where you talk Canucks. You're listening to the Canucks Central Postgame Show on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Here's a chance in front. Tyler Myers up in the play. Rebound. Besser scores. Brock Besser on the left wing. Tucks a rebound into the yawning cage. After it was centered from behind the goal by DeBrusk, Myers whacked at it and it fell to Besser. And he gives the Canucks a 2-0 lead with his third of the year.
And the Philly defensemen just end up too deep, kind of top of the circles. That allows DeBrusk to get the line, and he attacks the middle. As a defenseman, it's so hard when a forward attacks the middle of you because you both need to commit. That opens up Besser wide. DeBrusk puts it out wide, gets it back below the net, and Besser, what does he do? He just finds those quiet areas in behind, gets that empty puck in the crease, and puts it home. Myers in the crease. He's creating havoc. And then Besser cleans up the scraps.
Brock Besser made it 2-0 at the time. Canucks go on to win 3-0 against the Flyers. Kevin Lankanen getting his second victory for the Canucks. Yeah, second victory for the Canucks, and it's also a shutout for him here tonight. And you are listening to the Canucks Central Post Game Show, presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Satyar Shah with Bick Nizar. Keep getting your thoughts into our text inbox, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll-free, 1-888-275-0650.
His fourth career shutout, for those wondering.
Yeah, very strong. Kim Lankinen has been outstanding for the Canucks so far in his three starts, picking up points in all three, winning two of them, and being outstanding in every performance so far. Some luck from the goalpost tonight, and the Flyers just couldn't connect on a few plays, but you have to also be good to be lucky, and that's kind of where you're at with Kevin Lankinen and his performance so far. Before we break down the goals, you heard the breakdown of the Besser goal there a bit from Brett Festerling, but a lot popping off on our text inbox. And Daniel in Vancouver says, to your listeners who may have not been able to get out to vote yet, you have until 8 p.m., so if you are able to, Daniel is encouraging you to go and vote if you can. I know it's been difficult with the weather today too, but polls are open until 8 p.m., so that's the public service announcement for tonight.
Good guy Daniel with the PSA text. Again, yeah. we take anything. Questions, comments, concerns, PSAs.
Yeah,
there you go.
100%. And this text says, Canucks look pretty good. We're in control of that game for most of the night. What else are you seeing on the text inbox?
Yeah, a lot of Lankinen love as well. 650. Austin Langley, their guy going forward. Also, Branny needs to stay. And Petey looks good. Branny being Eric Brandstrom. 650. Yeah, Dave said Lankinen played awesome. Happy for Myers. A better game from Pedersen. The boys need to play a better 60, full of staples and pillars, et cetera, et cetera. I'm sure Tockett will mention it. We'll hear from him very shortly. And yeah, just more Lankinen support as he gets the shutout.
Yeah, and then we've had a few texts, a few unsigned texts on Pedersen saying people want to see more, but we are seeing some positive ones as well. Rick from the Ridge says, Petey has been climbing up the rung the last few games. A couple amazing defensive plays tonight that go unnoticed by most, a la Barkov, and you'll get a little bit of confidence from the Hoagie tap-in. When his offensive burners are back on, we're in for a treat with this kid for the contract. I'm telling you, that's Rick from the Ridge, who still very much believes in Elias Pettersson. And Pettersson featured on the first goal of the game, setting up Nils Höglander to make it 1-0. And this was a play that started with the zone entry and how Filip Hronek handles things through the neutral zone. But it was a nice passing play finished off by Nils Höglander.
Yeah, Hronek carries it the whole way with no forecheck and gains access to the zone, goes around Farabee, goes around Lawton, and then just he and Garland kind of exchange passes, and Garland whips it into the middle of the ice. And this is something we've seen from the past three games from Elias Pettersson, where he's timed his movement in the slot, basically all the way from the crease to the high slot above the circles really well, and that he's found space, especially from below the goal line. His wingers have been able to find him. Just he hasn't finished chances, or he's whiffed on the puck, as we mentioned in the game against Tampa Bay. And today, you know, he gets that pass, and you could just see the sheer panic because nobody had picked up Pettersson through the entire sequence of the play, and everyone starts to converge of him, and Harrison's like, I got to go out and challenge him. And Höglander, you know, he's really worked on this getting to the net the last two seasons and creeps in from behind the goal line. And of course, Pettersson spots him, and it's an easy tap in. It's the pass he should make, but you can just see the work to get open, and Garland fighting him just makes it easy for Höglander to get his second of the year.
Yeah. Jim, the energy guy, asks us on Pettersson, what do you guys think of Pettersson's game tonight? I honestly thought he was better against the Florida Panthers. Didn't pick up a point in that game. He set up, you know, four grade A chances and a fifth really good scoring chance. Most nights, at least one of those go in, and then he hit the post, the inside of the post on 1-2. That could have easily been a multi-point game from him last game. Doesn't get rewarded for it. Tonight had the point. I thought he had a couple chances too. It was the one on the zone entry. Höglander makes a nice play along the boards, and it's essentially a bit of a two-on-one almost with Pettersson and with Garland, and he just takes a shot and goes on Erst and tries to go five-hole, can't beat him. And then later on that same shift, gets a one-timer off. Erst can't beat Erson on it either. That's the extent of him getting his shot off. There was a couple times where he couldn't get the shot off. Höglander made a pass to him in the slot, but his stick got checked. So I guess it's close. This one person's asking us, you know, where has his shot gone? All the other things are there. That's one thing we still want to see, is him be a bit more assertive with that shot, and that shot looking more threatening. Of course, the other night hits the inside of the bar. So I think, you know, you can look at it and say we've seen some good. There's still a lot I think he can do to grow and get better. And considering the talent we've seen from him, we know this is nowhere near his best.
Yeah, another four shot attempts tonight, which is, again...
Yeah, it's solid.
It's fine. when he had his 100-point season, he was directing 6.
Yeah.
So, again, 4 is a nice number. But if you're asking about, hey, that shot, we really want to see it. Yeah, it hasn't necessarily sparked up. And so far this season, he would be at 10. He's at about 2 shot attempts a game.
Yeah, so you want to see a bit more there as far as shots. But, yeah, not bad. Picked up a point here tonight, of course, for the Canucks. That line, I thought, had a decent night, a pretty good night overall. Helped the Canucks take the victory here. And it was the game-winning goal, the first goal of the game.
Sorry, my math was wrong. He's closer to 4 shots a game.
4 shots? Yeah. Okay. Not too bad. You know, at least he's being aggressive, can do a bit more. But, you know, that's where we're at in terms of Pedersen's game for tonight. The Canucks made it 2-0. You heard the call coming in. Jake DeBrusque finding Myers in front, who then finds Brock Besser for the backdoor tap-in play. And honestly, to me, the zone entry was solid too. I thought Besser did a good job after DeBrusque came in. He got closed down by 2 Flyers players. He gets the puck, throws it behind the net where DeBrusque gets it and centers it. But initially, I didn't realize that Myers made that pass. I thought the puck kind of got loose or somehow bounced to Besser, or maybe he tapped at it. But it was a no-look behind-the-back pass to
Besser.
Between
the legs? Between the legs, behind the back, whatever it was.
It was high level.
It was mind-blowing. That Tyler Myers had the wherewithal after getting his own goal-scoring opportunity in your 1,000th game, and you know, to not get frustrated in that moment and be aware to spot Brock Besser there and give it to him for still some work to do by Brock, because he's coming into the play and he's got to tuck it in backhand around Ericsson, and he does so. But you know, Tyler Myers, it took me text messages from our listeners and from friends to text me and say, "Hey, what a play! You guys are gonna have fun talking about that." It's like, what are you talking about? And then you see it, and just a sharp play by 57 in his 1,000th game.
Yeah, good for Tyler Myers tonight, and fantastic for him. 1,000 game. This is his 16th season.
And in the NHL. That whole sequence with the play, because he does some good work in the defensive zone as well, on a nice composed pass to Miller, and then activates. He's part of that entry that you talked about with DeBrusque, and we're looking for moments of when are the D going to join the rush or try to push the tempo to become a rush or transition opportunity like the coaching staff wants. Well, there's Myers taking a pass from DeBrusque on the entry after he gets low right in front of the net.
Yeah, we've seen that a few times, a defenseman activating, and that's a good thing to see and help the Canucks take the 2-0 lead. And then the Canucks made it 3-0 just, you know, seconds later off a offensive zone faceoff. Teddy Bluger wins it, and in a heartbeat from the hash mark just outside the faceoff circle, Sherwood just unleashes a quick snapper wrister, and it just blows past Ersson. I'm not sure there's anything else to add outside of Sherwood finally gets rewarded for a goal on the campaign, in addition to him being a physical force.
Yeah, not much. It was just bang, bang right off the faceoff, one of his 7 shot attempts, as we alluded to earlier. So a busy night for him, and he gets on the score sheet for the first time this year on his march towards we think 15.
Yeah, well, like I said, I can see him getting 15 or so. That people have ran with that and said I've said 30, 40 goals. I've never predicted 30, not even 20. But hey, we have fun when it comes to these things on social media, so have at it. And that is the game review brought to you by BC Honda Dealers. Love a good save, then you love the all-new, all-electric Honda Prologue EV. Score up to $8,000 in combined rebates. Visit bchonda.ca. All right, we are going to get to more of your reaction on the text inbox and also on the phone board, 604-280-0650. But before we do that, let's get the thoughts of the Canucks head coach. Here is Rick Tocchet after the Canucks blanked the Flyers in Philly 3-0 tonight.
Rick, let's start with Kevin Lankinen. First shout out with the team, of course. What can you say about him and his performance?
Well, I keep saying it. I mean, since training camp when we acquired him, he's played really good hockey for us. You know, obviously he was great tonight. Flyers had a bunch of chances, could have got back in the game, and he held the fort. So, you know, to win back-to-back games, to put the efforts so that he isn't for us, it's big for us.
It looked like the team was just playing some fun hockey today. Did you see a full 60 minutes from them?
Yeah, no, I like a lot of parts of our game. You know, we're still learning. Puck management still. I mean, you know, we gave them some opportunities to get back in the game, but I think for the most part, we had some opportunities. We had a lot of odd man rushes we couldn't convert. I think we have to work on that stuff. But yeah, listen, 3-0 game, team effort. You take the win and move on, and you know, obviously keep improving on certain areas.
Two years ago, I don't know that Tyler Myers would have thought he would be in this position where he feels so good about his game, so good about the team. What have you seen in him from the time that you took over to now?
Yeah, I didn't know Mizey that well when I took over as head coach and footy and Gonch, and we saw a lot of potential. You know, I think he just needed structure in his game, and he's a guy that always wants to get better every day. I mean, I don't think he's ever had an off practice in the sense of work. He works hard, so hard. He's a pleasure to coach. Obviously, he's a great team guy in the room, and he's really played a lot of good hockey for me since I've been a head coach, so I got to give him a lot of credit.
We talk about, you know, glue guys, and you know, that's harder maybe to define than what they do on the ice, but how important is he to your group and your culture?
Well, he's a voice of reason, you know. He plays off how I am, like, in the room. If, you know, he's good at cleaning up. If, you know, if I get upset at the team, he's a good guy to, when I leave, to, you know, keep the guys together, or vice versa. He knows what we want as coaches, and you know, I just feel that he helps us out as a, you know, almost like as a coach, because he, you know, he's an older guy, guys respect him, and you know, like I said, that's a hell of a feat, 1,000 games.
Has Kevin Lankinen earned the next start now the way he's playing?
Well, it's still 3 days away, so we'll see. I mean, he's playing great. You know, I got to play the guy. He's been unreal. I like his composure. Actually, he's good at coming out and stop pucks. That's a big factor for us.
JT didn't take a lot of face-offs after the opening one. Anything?
Yeah, he's dealing some stuff. We'll figure out the next couple of days. But yeah, I didn't want him. We didn't want him to take draws. So, still played well for us even when he didn't take draws. Draws.
You expect he's okay for Tuesday?
I expect it, but you never know. I'll see how it is. You know, he'll probably get a couple of days off here to rest it and see where it goes.
How do you think Besser did in the circle in his stead? He won his first three, and then
I think he got cocky, and then he thought he was Bergeron or something. But yeah, no, it's a listen. You know, you're gonna have to go through those situations, and you know, I think Jake took a couple. Yeah.
With Kevin in particular, you've gone and swapped starts until tonight, and then he gives you a shutout. Are you at a point where you may have to consider riding a hot hand here?
Oh yeah, I mean, listen, you know, we got good goaltending here, but it's still early, and you know, he's put three good games for it together, he just looks really solid. Even when we were panicking, but even when we were running around a little bit, you know, he was in his net. He looked big in his net, like he wasn't flip-flopping all over the, you know, he was just really steady.
Given the context of your goaltending and I think it's fair to say disappointment that with Thatcher that it's taken him as long as it has, how big a factor has Lankinen been for you guys?
I mean, it's a huge acquisition by Patrick. I mean, to grab him out of nowhere, you know, like, is huge. I mean, I don't know how many games. He played two exhibition games, I think, and he got three games in it right now. And he's, I don't think he's had a bad start. He's been a factor in every game.
Thank you, Brett.
Oh, so go ahead.
Brett.
Yeah.
DeHarnay and Brännström tonight looked like they played a pretty composed game for
you.
Is there something there in terms of maybe if DeHarnay's with a guy who moves the puck a little better, like complimentary, almost like a defensive version of what you've had with Joshua Garland?
Yeah, you got to look at that. No, that's a good point. I thought they played really well. Me and Footy talked before the game. I said we got to get them some ice time, get them out there. You know, it's. And I thought we got them out there at the right time. I don't know how much they played, but they played more than the other night. And they fed off each other. Could be a good pair for us.
That is Canucks head coach Rick Tocchet at the podium, brought to you by Tiletown. For vision and reality, Tiletown has everything you need for your tiling project. See them today in Victoria, Richmond, Langley, and online at mytiletown.ca. And he was very complimentary of Kevin Lankinen, of course, and Tyler Myers, who played his 1,000th game. And I know a lot of people are texting in about Brännström and DeHarnay, Bick, but the coach, very happy with that pair tonight.
Yeah, a little attaboy at the end there, and you know, it definitely was the best game for both DeHarnay and Brännström. Yeah. I don't know how, you know, the first couple of games for DeHarnay obviously didn't go very well, mm-hmm. and maybe there's something there with him and Branstrom. I'm still a little bit skeptical, but a lot of praise coming in for Branstrom individually in the inbox here, 650, 650.
All right, you know, we'll hit more of that on the other side. We'll get to more of your text messages, more of your phone calls, 604-280-0650, your toll-free 1-888-275-0650, or hit us up on our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650, 650. Plus, we'll hear from Tyler Myers, and IMAC joins us later in the postgame show as well. It's Satyar Shah and Bick Nazar, and this is the Canucks Central postgame show after a 3-0 Canucks victory in Philly against the Flyers, presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment on the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
Hey, it's Dan Riccio
and Satyar Shah.
Join us for Canucks Central, where we will set up the game and break down the latest around the Canucks.
4 to 6 p.m. and postgame on Sportsnet 650 and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Canucks Central postgame show. Join the discussion on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Hoglander first to it on the forecheck, hit hard by Konechny into the end boards. The Flyers will turn to center. Sanheim, right wing for Konechny, into the Vancouver end to Sanheim, driving through the middle. Left circle, Farabee with a toe drag and a wrist shot right on. And Lankinen's there again to make the save and get the whistle with Travis Konechny parked right in front of him.
It's a huge acquisition by Patrick. I mean, to grab him out of nowhere, you know, like, is huge. I mean, I don't know how many games. He played two exhibition games, I think. And he got three games in it right now. And I don't think he's had a bad start. He's been a factor in every game.
That is Canucks head coach Rick Tocchet giving love to Kevin Lankinen. Terrific to record his first shutout as a Vancouver Canuck, his fourth of his career, like Bick pointed out earlier. And this is the Canucks Central postgame show after a 3-0 Canucks victory in Philly against the Flyers, brought to you by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Let Kubota do your heavy lifting. Visit them online at DLEAMC.com. It's Satyar Shah with Bick Nazar. Keep your thoughts coming in to our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. And you can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll-free 1-888-275-0650. We'll go to the phone boards in just a moment, Bick. But the people have a lot to say on the text inbox.
I'm actually starting to wonder if this is just a bit, if there's a Canucks fan group chat, and they're all saying, you know what we should do? We should text in about Eric Branstrom, because there's a lot of Eric Branstrom texts.
It's a lot.
Really nice game from Eric Branstrom. Looks eager to get involved in the offense. An amazing skater. That one in the third where he took charge of the ozone was great. This one, low-key solid game from Branstrom. He's showing good balance, defensive awareness, and playmaking ability. If he keeps playing like that, he'll keep Forbert out. And this one, who would be a better fit for Branstrom, Juulsen or Desharnais? If this works, what a find. Not getting ahead of myself, but the Canucks are 100 winning percentage with the franchise.
Hey, I mean, it is what it is, right? Facts only. Two games for Branstrom, two wins for the Canucks. I mean,
there's way more Branstrom text too as well.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Like this one here says, I've liked Branstrom's game, underrated, fairly steady, poised with the puck, makes good passes. How he'd handle a heavy forecheck from a top-tier team, I don't know, but looks good and a better option than guys like Juulsen. He is a lefty. He can't play the right side like others are mentioning too. So if need be, they can do that. That's going to be a coach's preference thing more than anything else.
Per the question that we just got, who's the better fit, Juulsen or Desharnais? I'll choose Derek Forbert. If there's the option to move Branstrom to the right-hand side.
Do Forbert and Branstrom?
If we're trying to engineer scenarios.
Listen, I don't think Desharnais nor Juulsen have played well enough to not explore that. But I would say that tonight Desharnais had a solid game. And I thought he played well tonight. So, I mean, he did well today. But I wouldn't mind seeing Forbert and Branstrom at some point. But again, how comfortable is this coaching staff? I know Branstrom has been good playing the right side. Offensively, defensively, because you have a right-handed stick and you're playing you're left-handed on the right side, that makes it a bit more awkward picking up passes, especially in your own zone, and being available along the boards. And the coaches like having the proper handedness along the boards. So we'll see if they want to explore that too much. But that's one pair I'd love to see, Forbert and Branstrom, because I think Forbert was better than people thought before he left the team to attend to a personal matter.
But yeah, between the three of them, Juulsen, Desharnais, Forbert, yeah, I think you could probably choose it any which way, but I'd probably lean it towards Branstrom.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that goes. And Lester the Sparky, Branstrom is looking great, boys. Management with some great work again this season. I mean, it's one Branstrom text after another. You're not wrong about that.
Yeah, Chris from the Ridge, Branstrom looking really good for his second game. Sure looks comfortable. Definitely has the moves and fluidity on the ice. Impressed and looking forward two more. There was a play in the first period where it just looked so easy for him to get out of the zone, go retrieve it, and pull away from some pressure that Philly was putting on. The third period shift that everyone has been texting in, where he was central to how the fourth line kept the puck deep in the zone. And for a full minute, they were in there, and it was Desharnais in the fourth line. You know, that in a 3-0 game, that is a winning shift by that group of five out there, and he was a central figure to all of it. And that's, I think, where a lot of people are heaping their praise on.
Yeah. This text here says, did you guys give an update on – did Taka give an update on JT Miller? He said that JT is dealing with some things, didn't go into specifics of what. You can surmise it's an upper body thing because you could tell he was favoring his left side, left arm, shoulder, elbow, wrist,
right off
hand,
the opening faceoff.
Whatever it is. Only took one more faceoff, and that was later in the third period. The coach said – he's going to get a couple of days off to rest. We'll see where it's at. He said, I would expect him to play, but we'll see how it goes. So clearly, this could be something with JT that he's been dealing with, which goes probably back to preseason again here. So something to keep in mind and keep an eye on with JT Miller over the next little while.
Yeah, he ends up taking, I think, just the one shot attempt tonight. Okay, sorry. He ends up with two and three hits and then just the two face-offs. So clearly, you know, given where this is now with him taking just the two faceoffs. I'll bring up what he's done so far this year in the faceoff circle, but I'm pretty sure he's taken quite a few. So far this year, JT Miller has taken, about 88 faceoffs.
Yeah. No, 100%.
So it's something by design today. They're like, hey, we got to cut this down. And certainly after the warning sign off of the opening draw.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll see how that goes. Hopefully something that mends pretty quickly, but JT Miller dealing with some things, as the head coach said. All right, we'll come back to the text inbox in a few moments. Let's go to the phone board, 604-280-0650, your toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. Let's go to Bella, where we have Don on the line. Don, thanks for calling in. Good to hear from you again this season. What do you have for us tonight?
Oh, hey there. Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I'm really liking the depth Vancouver has right now with Demko, Forbert, and Joshua Hall still out here. I know Forbert is just personal reasons or whatever, but when those guys get back, this depth that they have is going to be really, really good for Vancouver down the road. One more point is I think they got to keep Sprong in. I don't know. What do you guys think? Thank you.
Thanks for the phone call. I mean, Sprong had some good moments. I thought defensively he backchecked a couple times too. I think he was doing his absolute best. Every once in a while you'll see him make a pretty high-risk play. But I don't disagree. I think there's enough pop in his game that I like having him in the lineup, at the very least in a sheltered fourth-line role, because anytime he's out there, he can do something.
Yeah, if we're just comparing him and Baines, there's noticeable more pop in his skating ability than Baines. Now, I thought Baines had a nice defensive game the other night, but again, you're in the top six. Are you going to go produce something? Doesn't there with JT and Besser, and so Sprong gets a chance today. Obviously not in the same role, but Daniel Sprong ends up playing 11:40 today, five shot attempts, four of them going on goal. But you notice the skating, and if you're trying to be a bit more of a faster team, I have no problem with him being in the lineup right now. And it's a good shout there by Don as well, just the overall depth, because you know there's a spot available because Dakota Joshua is out. And so make an impression while you still have time to make it, because at some point he skated today in a non-contact jersey. At some point, Dakota Joshua is going to make his return, and that's going to take a lineup spot away.
Yeah, we'll see, because a guy like Nils Ullmann has really been good playing on the PK. And given where things are at with JT, too, you can understand them wanting to have more center depth
if
in the lineup,
need
take faceoffs, go on the PK, for instance. So I think there's usage and utilization from Ullmann that you won't have with Sprong. But him, as well, being on the second power play unit, gives that unit a real threat with a shot as well. So I like having Sprong in the lineup, but he is still a work in progress in terms of getting the all-around game in order and doing enough to earn the coach's trust.
Just cycling back to Nils Ullmann, 9 minutes and 30 seconds tonight. Goes 50% in the draw. Both of the wins were in the offensive zone, and then just one shot attempt.
Yeah.
So it felt like a Nils Ullmann game, right?
Yeah, it did.
The main thing is don't make mistakes out there.
Hey, it was fine in that sense, right? One player we haven't spoken a lot about tonight is Connor Garland, and Pardeep texts in and says, Garland is arguably the second most important forward on the team right now, behind only JT Miller. A miniature straw that stirs the drink. That's not a bad way of putting it. He's been terrific, and I'm not sure if that line had their best game. I mean, last game I thought maybe they had some more dangerous moments, but Garland's always buzzing. He's always making things happen. He's been forechecking really well, too. He's creating turnovers. Like, I don't have any issues with how Garland's played.
No, it's been strong. As people have said and texted in, he's probably been their second or best forward so far through the opening five games. So, you know, you need some engine players, and, you know, I think full credit to Connor Garland as well, because it's – I always go back to some things that, you know, he was talking about when he was in Arizona, that Rick Tocchet challenged him from becoming a 12-minute a game player to a 14. And then when you get here, it was going to become a 14 to a 16 game – minutes a game player.
Yeah.
Right now he's playing 18:58 coming into tonight. And Garland tonight ends up playing 18:26. So now he's becoming an 18-minute-a-game player, which is a huge step forward. And when you're shouldering that amount of minutes, there's the responsibility. You have to create. You have to do something. You have to be good on the forecheck. And he gets another point tonight, another couple of shot attempts. And we kept wondering, he's such an effective player in smaller sample sizes of, you know, 14 to 15 yeah. minutes, all 5-on-5. Was there another role for him on a PK or something like that? But you can also up your 5-on-5 game. Can you get to a top six line? If you're going to play 18 and a half minutes, 19 minutes, you got to be strong. And he's been doing it.
Yeah, he has. And you know, I'm a big fan of what he's done so far this season. And it's not wrong to call him the second best forward or the best forward to start the season. Like, you could say he's been the most consistent forward from game one till now. Miller's had some nice peaks, but consistency, shift in and shift out, I'd say Garland's been the most consistent Canucks forward.
Tyler with a good question. Who is more of a pest, Garland or Sherwood? Or off the board?
That's a good question.
I think
probably Garland still gets under the opponent's skin more. He's every shift somebody's pissed at him, annoyed at him.
I think Connor Garland just plays good hockey and by nature is a pest. I think Sherwood takes pride in the idea of being a pest.
Yeah, and he does a good job of it, too. You saw him get into it.
I think he's intentionally trying to be a pest, and I think I'll give my vote to Sherwood.
And he seems to have a good demeanor overall. He got into it with Konechny a bit, and Konechny slashed him. He just laughed at him. Instead of, you know, that's how you're supposed to be. If you want to be a pest, you have to also be able to
embrace the role of it.
And also have composure and not take some penalties yourself. And he showed that really well so far. Dustin McClellan from Grand Forks texted in and says, loved Sherwood tonight. I really think Garland is becoming our heartbeat alongside Miller. Really hoping Hughes and Miller's injuries are not too serious. Good win. The reason Dustin mentions Quinn Hughes, he took a cross check from Travis Konechny near the boards. It was right in front of the official, too. And he goes down and he looks uncomfortable right away, goes off to the bench. You can see him wincing on the bench. And of course, last game, he took a hit, too, into the boards. He left and came back for overtime. It's early in the season, but you pick up these things as the year goes on. I'd hope everything's okay with Quinn. It looks like it's okay, but like Dustin says, you hope there's nothing too serious with JT either.
It wasn't as much of a puck-dominant game from Quinn Hughes tonight that we saw last game. He had the puck for 3 minutes on his stick against the Florida Panthers. Tonight, .142, which is rare for Quinn Hughes to not be leading a game. He finishes in third this evening. Drysdale at .154. Hronek 1:51 with the puck on his stick. And I thought Philip Hronek's best game. I still don't know if we've seen the best Hughes-Hronek game where they completely tilt the ice. And Phil wanted to mention, for all the slack Pettersson gets, I'm shocked Hronek has been left alone. The chemistry with Hughes doesn't look like it's there. I don't know if it's resembled what we saw in the early part of the season. It's still solid. They can still be effective. They're still, you know, a very strong pairing. It was so good to begin the year last year. They were the primary reason why they were winning so much in the early part of the season.
I would say that I think both those guys have been better the last two games.
This was definitely Hronik's best game.
Yeah, I thought Hronik was really...
Obviously, we talked a great detail about what Hughes did the last game.
So I think these past couple of games, they're a bit closer to it, but it's game five of the season. And I think...
This is kind of when it started to take off last time.
Well, yeah, they had 4 points in four games, and then they picked up points in, was it, eight or nine straight games after...
8-0-1.
8-0-1 was in their next nine games, and that started when they won against the Florida Panthers in their fifth game of the season last year, and then from that point took off. We'll see if they can do the same thing, but you don't become the team you were. Even last year, like, it took them a while to be as good as they were by the end of the season and in the playoffs, right? So it's going to take a little bit of time for those things to come together.
These last two games feel like the seeds of... what you can see a nice stretch at some point, whether it's November and December. It feels like it's starting to come together. It wasn't the 8-1 fireworks show that we saw at the beginning of the season, but these are encouraging games that this is going to start trending towards where it needs to go.
Yeah, absolutely. Some positives there from those two players. I did have a take here on how heavy this Canucks team has been so far. I haven't gone through all the stats, but I would imagine the Canucks as a team are amongst the league leaders in hits so far. In every game they've played, the physical side, they've more than held their own. You saw it against a heavy, big Florida team. They kind of went toe-to-toe and were out-physicaling them. Tonight, Sherwood had 9 hits. They haven't changed it yet. 9 hits for Kiefer Sherwood so far. 7 for Jake DeBrusk, who was more imposing tonight with how he played. You add the fact that you're going to have Dakota Joshua come back into the lineup. You have JT Miller being physical. I know people scoff at Elias Pettersson. You know, Elias Pettersson last year had over 100 hits. He was one of the leaders on the team in hits beyond, Miller and Dakota Joshua, of course. Now you have those guys. You add Joshua coming back. Like, this Canucks forward group, and then you look at the back end, of course, with the size. This could be a low-key, pretty heavy hockey team this season.
If they intend to have success in the playoffs, being the toughest team you can face, and what was the common sentiment we heard throughout the course of the season? That's a tough-checking team. They're tough to go against.
Yeah.
They're the ones that pushed the Oilers to 7 games, right? You have to lean into the bit.
Yeah, and even a guy like Danton Heinen, he's not as physical, obviously, as Sherwood is, but he's a really good forechecker. He's good along the walls, and he does a good job closing guys, getting a stick on a puck, and keeping guys hemmed in and buying time to get his teammates involved in a board battle. So they're a lot harder to play through. And I think when that kind of chemistry comes together, I think that forward group could be a lot tougher to play against.
He is the one, though, I'm curious if his integration hasn't gone as smoothly as Sherwood suddenly has. I still think there's plenty more there. He's shown flashes of being on the forecheck, but I do think there's a lot more still to come from Danton Heinen.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that either. I think there's a lot. I mean, again, it's early in the season. I'm expecting a lot more from a lot of these players, and I think we're going to see it. Somebody texted in on Brännström and said, you guys called it, that Brännström's flash was going to get the fans excited to start off.
This was a you thing.
Yeah, and how are they going to react when he has a first bad game? And the thing with Brännström is, it doesn't.
There was an admission here. We'll turn on him.
We'll turn on when that happens, and that's why I'm still on the pump the brakes side with Brännström.
Yeah.
I haven't seen anything from him I did not expect to see. He's a great skater. When he handles the puck, you're going to be awed, and when you watch him, you're going to be like, man, this guy looks like a high level, talented NHL defenseman. He does. Like, he passes the aesthetics test like with flying colors. And what are some of the biggest compliments we've got from him tonight? How he played in the offensive zone.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the question. You know, the question is going to be, how does he handle playing in his own end? And he was really aggressive, but you pointed out too, a couple times he ends up on the right side as a lefty defenseman, which means your players have to rotate. Now, the thing about him, which is good, he's such a good skater. He can recover when he's out of position, but he was pretty adventurous. If you get caught a couple times, the coaches are going to want to reel you in a bit. So I just be careful with getting over enthused with the flash, because those things, we should expect that. That's what he does well. It's the other side of the game, which, again, I thought tonight, there are a lot of positives. Like, I thought he did a good job on his retrievals, did a good job on the exits. I thought he tried to battle, too. Made a mistake here and there, but that's to be expected. But that's the area of the game that has to develop and has to really earn the trust of the coaches.
Yeah, you pointed this out last game, that at times, the focus might wane a little bit and slow to rotate. Again, there was a couple of moments that leading into the Besser goal. You can see it, like, Elias Pettersson goes to go cover for him because he steps up and doesn't really make an effort to get back, and he's kind of just watching the play through the neutral zone.
Yeah.
And Pedersen's there to pick up a loose puck, and he's the one that chops it out. Eventually, Philly regroups, and that's how everything kicks off for the eventual Besser goal. So, again, there's moments, but, yeah, it's 14 minutes that he's playing. And if this is meant to be a project, it's not as if you're expecting him to play 19, 20 minutes right now, so keep working on the project. He certainly earned more playing time or more opportunities to be in the lineup moving forward, and that's why it's valid, these questions that we're getting. Who should he be paired with? And we were chatting about Forbert. Do you move Branstrom to the other side? Is that another option? Hey, having more bodies is not a problem. And we had the caller earlier saying, really liking the depth. Do you have guys who can step into the lineup, whether it's injury or just competition, that can give you something credible? And, you know, at least you get a sense of what he is. We always sit here and chat about, you know, okay, what can this guy do? What can this guy do? Our baseline usually when you and I are chatting is, who are you and how consistent are you at being that?
Mm-hmm.
We certainly get an impression of what Branstrom is every time he goes on the ice.
100%. And it's the other areas of his game. But the coach was complimentary tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's positive. So really positive showing from Branstrom tonight. Hank the Tank text in hashtag Branstrom for heart. I mean, it's, you know,
there
it's
are
happening.
No breaks on the hype train.
You know what happens, man? The text inbox is great. Fish Dancer says, JT, PD, Hughes all look to be playing through something already. Demmer is out. I believe in this core, but it seems like the stars need to align to have everybody healthy come playoff time. That's Fish Dancer. It's true, but we're here on October 19th. And I'd rather deal with injuries early in the season than deal with them later in the season, as long as you make the playoffs. Because last year, the Canucks were incredibly healthy.
Yeah.
And then come playoff time, Demko goes down. Brock Besser goes down late too, right? You start, Pedersen wasn't 100%. Some other players were playing through ailments. Hronik, we know. So it's like, you know, they were healthy to begin the year last year, didn't finish it as much. Can you be healthy come playoff time? That's the hope for most teams. But really, it's a spin the wheel, roll the dice, see what kind of happens by then, right? So we hope for the best. And so far, the Canucks at least have put together back-to-back victories. Now, 2-1-2 on the season. Keep getting your thoughts into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox. We'll take more of your phone calls. Plus, we are going to hear from Tyler Myers and Ian McIntyre as the Canucks Central postgame show continues, presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment on the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
Hey, it's Jamie Dodd
and Thomas Drantz.
Get your daily dose of Canucks talk with us weekdays from 12 to 2 on Sportsnet 650.
Or catch up on demand through your favorite podcast app.
This is where you talk Canucks. You're listening to the Canucks Central Postgame Show on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
You alluded to it. Myers gets the point. As the Canucks win a faceoff, they score. Kiefer Sherwood right off the draw, right circle. Rips it past Samuel Ersson, and it's 3-0 Canucks.
Quick pull the trigger. Righty right in the slot. Sherwood's been buzzing. You knew he was going to get more opportunities tonight. And they're just not ready for that quick shot.
Teddy Bluger wins a faceoff, and Kiefer Sherwood, a quick release from inside the circle, beats Ersson, who did not expect that shot to get off Sherwood's stick that quickly, I think.
The first of many?
The first of many.
Of how many, Sat?
Listen.
How many
All I said was, Kiefer Sherwood has a really good shot.
2-on-1 for the Canucks to center. Sherwood left wing. He's got Bluger with him. Sherwood fans on the shot, and it rolled wide of the net. In any other situation, that might be really embarrassing, but the Canucks are 25 seconds away from sealing this victory.
Wow. You know what's embarrassing? Is like making fun of Kiefer Sherwood after he scores a goal tonight, throws 9 hits, and you guys are sitting here bagging on Sherwood?
No, goodness. No, it was about you.
He whiffed on a shot after scoring a goal. Oh, my goodness.
It's occupational hazard for him to whiff on a shot.
What a bad take. He whiffed on a shot in a game he got a goal in. Wow. Wow. You know what? I accuse fans of being negative. Talk about negative media here, man. Canucks win 3-0. These guys are bagging on Sherwood, fanning on a shot. My goodness. Bick Nazar, Fast Eddie Gregory. Listening to the Canucks Center Post Game Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Canucks blank the Flyers. And yes, Kiefer Sherwood got the Canucks' third goal, and that is how it ends, Kevin Lankinen. But yeah, I suppose. I mean, he got a plus shot. He showed the shot in the goal, didn't he?
Yeah. It was just funny that immediately after.
Well, it wasn't immediately. It was just...
It was in the second intermission, and then the next period. You didn't have another opportunity to go on the mic.
No. But yeah, I can't believe you guys made fun of Sherwood that way. playing him whiffing a shot? Come on.
Hey, but you've been calling this. He's got an underrated shot.
Well, he's got one goal in five games. But yes, we'll see how he has. Yeah. He has
one goal in five games over the course of 80.
It's like 15 goals, like 17
exactly
goals. So he's on pace.
Yeah.
It's five games in, right? That's why, like, I don't, you know, somebody texted in earlier. It's like, you guys are talk radio. You're supposed to, like, be, you know, up and down every game or whatever. But it's like, we're so early in the year. Like, I hate doing
someone asked for us to be more reactionary?
Well, somebody was mentioning to us, like, because I think it was a while, last week or something. I can't remember what it was. But it was like, wasn't talk radio supposed to be, like, overreactionary? Like, or whatever. I'm like, hey, fair point. But hockey's an 82-game season. You see it in the NFL. It's like, because it's like 16, 17 games. It's a lot more truncated. So every game like takes on this importance. I just can't take, you know, the overly enthused about anything or overly pessimistic about anything. Like, again, like, you know, somebody was texting in too and saying, oh, I'm sad. You know, I'm sure Sat's going to be glazing over Pettersson because he, you know, he played so well the last couple of games, so to speak. And it's like, you know, we said he was okay, but we didn't say he was amazing.
I'm not sure this is, again, I know I said it last game and said it after game three as well. I don't know if it was so dissimilar to what we saw the game before that.
Yeah.
Plus or minus a scoring chance here or there, but it feels like it's been similar to me. And so when he's having a bad game, it's like, yeah, he's fine. People think, oh, you're being a defender. And he has a good game, and so he's being fine. Oh, you're a hater. No, I've been in the middle.
Yeah.
I've been in the middle the whole time. I'm literally not being reactionary on sports talk radio advice.
Maybe
there.
We should be more reactionary, I suppose. Jeff from Fort St. John texts in and says, is there anyone who doubts this management group? A shout out by game five is next level goaltending at a dirt cheap price. Let's give Alvin credit where credit is due for Kevin Lankinen, who got the shutout tonight. And this text from Jeff in Richmond. So one Jeff from St. John and one from Fort St. John and one Jeff from Richmond. And Richmond, Jeff in Richmond says, Brännström was a first round pick traded by Vegas for Mark Stone. Kudos to Alvin for the crafty move of Pullman's dead contract and a fourth round pick. Yes, I mean, he was a first-round pick. To be fair, Brännström did not have any trade value. He was also on waivers when the Canucks put him on waivers after they acquired him, and nobody picked him up at $900,000. So it's not like he had value, but what the Canucks did was move a contract out, give up a draft pick in that process, which is fine to do because you're moved off most of that salary, and they actually got a credible depth defenseman into their lineup. It's somebody as an option. And I think that's – if you're looking to dump salary – that's a good way of doing it. It kind of reminds me of the trade the Canucks made for when they moved Jason Dickinson and they got Riley Stillman back in return and they were able to flip him and get a prospect out of it later on. But it's like at least you got somebody back in a dump that you used and had some semblance of value to you, right?
Who they turned into Josh Bloom.
Yeah, I mean, he was a prospect at the time, right? Yeah. Who was a third round pick the year before. At least you were able to turn him into something. It wasn't a dead weight on you. And whether Brännström turns into an asset trade-wise or better yet, an option to play for you on your third pair, I don't think you can be too upset about that acquisition.
No, not at all. Again, it's, you know, for a market that has demanded so much from previous management groups, mm-hmm. and it's seeing it now, the fan base has always engineered creative ideas. And now this management group is doing creative ideas, like finding a opportunity for Pullman to go to Colorado and to bring in Brännström, and they've done the simple stuff really well.
Yeah,
which is what you're supposed to do
exactly, and have
problem solve
and have credible depth throughout your lineup, and that's something you need to have. And even guys who can play 10-15 games for you and not hurt you, that's important.
Yeah.
And having that, you know, as options, those things do really matter.
Especially when you just look at it over the course of a year. If I went back to last year and really read you some of the players that actually played games for the Vancouver Canucks last year. I know we always just think of like, oh, it's JT Miller, and it's always the stars all of the time. Well, Kira Hirose played a game last year.
Yeah.
Jack Sednika played 5. Vasily Podkolzin played 19.
Yeah.
Anthony Bovillia played 22. Like, Mark Friedman played 23. You need guys to find, you know, 15 to 20 games at some point during the season. And can they give you credible games? It does matter at some stage.
Yeah, it really does. And from a depth perspective, it's solid from the Canucks. I know people want more from the Stars, but hey, at least if you pick up some points and some wins along the way, hopefully that comes around as well. The guy who was a big story coming into the game was Tyler Myers, who got his 1,000th game tonight. And what a career it's been for him. He was a first-round pick of the Buffalo Sabres many years back, won the Calder Trophy, has had a bit of an up-and-down career. In Vancouver, of course, the first few years were not exactly great. People criticized him significantly, too, for how he played, but he's turned that around in a big way, become a part of this team, an important part of the team, like the head coach mentioned. And here is Tyler Myers post-game, playing his 1,000th game, and also picking up a nice assist to Brock Besser. Here he is talking about the 3-0 win.
Tyler, you've officially skated in game 1,000, but not only that, to do it in a game like this, what does it mean?
It means a lot. More so to do it with this group. I love this group. And, thinking back to the summer and, not knowing what it was going to be like, and to be able to come back and do it with these guys, get a win, it's just a great night.
Feel like it's two wins in a row now, and I know it's early. Do you feel like more good things in your game are starting to, just the team's game starting to come out and show themselves?
Yeah, we're starting to get it going. There's still a lot of room for improvement for our group. Even tonight, I got real antsy, late latter half of the second, and we got a little loose. So even just little things like that, getting better with it, situational awareness. But I thought we came out in the third and, we battled harder in the last 20. So it was, it's just little things like that to build as a group and to keep getting better.
Do you feel like your most complete team effort of the season, though?
In a way. Like I said, we got loose there for, 10, 12 minutes. But, things like that are going to happen. Lanks played unbelievable, made some big saves to keep us, with a little bit of a cushion. And then we battled hard. So, we just got to take those little things in each and every game and just get more consistent with it.
When you were thinking about playing your 1,000th game at the hotel last night, did you drop a backhand pass through the legs for a primary assist?
Definitely not. I saw a shade of white kind of fly behind me as we were searching for the puck there. I just threw it in area, and luckily Bess was there.
To be able to put one on your sizzle reel, though, in a milestone game.
Yeah, it was cool. I did it on purpose.
What about Brock just pushing you ahead there in the silly line?
It was, Brock's great. All these guys are great. It was a great night. I'm going to remember it forever. They had a video of my kids doing the starting lineup, so it was an emotional night. There were different times throughout the game. I was getting emotional and a lot of different feelings. In a way, I'm glad it's over. But it was special.
It's always tough to reflect on your career when you're still in your career, but who are the people you think about on a night like this?
A lot. my dad, my parents, when I was a young kid coming up, always pushing me. And then, my wife and kids have just been an absolute rock for me. It's a big reason why you get to the point that you get to tonight with the amount of support you have. My in-laws, so many coaches, the different organizations, there's so many people I could run through. It's going to be hard to remember everybody.
That is Tyler Myers, after picking up an assist and helping the Canucks win 3-0 in Philly against the Flyers, celebrating his 1,000th game in the process. Spoke about how emotional it was. And, I turned to you while he was talking. I know on the ice, like we said, it's been a journey. It's been a lot of ups and downs, and the fan base have had a love-hate relationship. But he's a hard player to dislike personally. And every time we've had chances to talk to him, he's been very honest. He's been introspective. He doesn't really, cheat you out of an answer. And, he just came off as a guy who was really appreciative and happy. And it's hard not to like a player like that.
Yeah. An honest shift is always put forth by... Yeah. Tyler Myers.
He will never cheat you out of an effort. He'll make mistakes.
Sure.
He'll mess up, but I've never said, oh, Myers wasn't trying on that play.
Yeah, exactly. And it's slowly stacked up. And I do wonder if there's going to be a latter half of the career appreciation, because now the contract isn't as much of a conversation. With every text we used to get sad about Tyler Myers, it was the six was involved in it, right? It was always just brought up, oh, $6 million. I'm curious if this starts to wane a little bit and people are like, I also think being in the playoffs that environment, I showed
he was physical, he blocked shots, he was good and steady, and when you do those things, I think it goes a long way. All right.
Just really quickly, we've touched on like how rare right-handed D-men are, and I know you guys brought up like how hard it is to get to 1,000. In the Cap era, he's now the 10th right-handed D-man to get to 1,000 games.
Yeah, it's like pretty remarkable.
These guys don't exist.
No, they don't, especially guys that can play that many games. All right, let's go to Philly and bring in the man we call the triple threat. You watch him on TV, you read him on digital, you're about to hear him on radio. He is Ian McIntyre.
Well, not only do those right-handed 1,000-game guys not exist, Tyler Myers, as we know him now, didn't exist 2 years ago. Has there been a more remarkable and impressive evolution of a player at this stage of his career, at least in Vancouver, than what Tyler Myers has undergone under this coaching staff with Rick Tocchet and Adam Foote? You know, I asked him that. How are you guys, by the way?
Oh, fantastic. Hey, don't let our feelings interrupt you.
All right. I asked Tyler after the game, like, could he have envisioned this? And he just sort of laughed and he shook his head. And he said, you know, there's obviously been very low points in the spectrum is how he described it, his time in Vancouver. And he says they've had, you know, they had a very high point last year. And he thinks this group, and he didn't say himself, but I'll say Tyler himself. He said this group is maybe a group that people should look at and understand that if you put your head down and you just continue to work and you continue to believe in yourselves, you can get to a place that maybe other people didn't think you could get to. And I think that's what Tyler has done. I mean, who knew or who could have envisioned, you know, 2 years ago that he would be almost indispensable to this hockey team on the ice, a 6'7" matchup guy that the coach leans on so heavily. And then beyond that, you know, one thing about, you know, the benefit of still traveling and being able to speak sometimes off camera, sometimes even occasionally off microphone with players in the room on a night like this is you get an appreciation of how loved he is in that room and how important he is. And I know that I asked Tocchet post game, and you guys probably had that clip where he talked about what Myers means in the room, that he's the voice of reason, which I love that. So when Tocchet comes in on occasion and is yelling and screaming and leaves, that Myers is the guy who kind of cleans up and is the voice of reason and gets everyone back together. But he really is one of those guys at central to this team in terms of what they try and do on the ice, but also what they are as a group off the ice and in the dressing room. It was just like a really great night for him.
As you outlined there about that journey through 2 years to get here, and I guess it's one of the things when we talk about, you know, scouting and development, all these things, there's so many natural physical gifted abilities that he does have, size and mobility and all these things. And then you look at tonight, like Eric Branstrom was getting a lot of praise from listeners and fans in our inbox, and even Vincent Desharnais, like they've made an investment in him, a 2-year project as well. Both of those guys, you know, have physical traits, have physical abilities that this group, whether it's Foot, whether it's Tocchet, Gonchar, feel like maybe they can mold and have a project here. If you're trying to project, you know, I know we're talking about first days for Branstrom and Desharnais, but the same idea of, hey, working with the player and what it can become with those two players.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, there is a fundamental difference because Branstrom didn't have any choice
on
where he ended up.
Yeah,
but certainly Vincent Desharnais did, and he talked about that after he signed here. He talked about that in training camp, and I haven't put the question to Desharnais about this, but I strongly suspect were there no Tyler Myers, that Vincent Desharnais may not have chosen to come to the Vancouver Canucks. because he has told me that Myers is kind of a template, both for, you know, how big he is and
right.
how he needed to you know, push his game forward and continue to evolve. And Desharnais is a much younger guy. He's a more, I would say, a far more malleable guy, or should be at this stage of his career, than what Tyler Myers was. But then again, you know, that makes it even more impressive what Myers has did, because he was able to change and adapt at an age where he'd been doing a lot of things a certain way for a long time. And Desharnais, I think, you know, people, we all overreact at times. And I admit I do too. I try to be the voice of reason among journalists, but I don't always succeed. But we're in such a rush to judge Desharnais already.
Mm-hmm.
And we're five games in, and we're in a rush to judge because he's already sat out a couple. And, you know, Daniel Sprong to a lesser extent, like, you know, we're judging him and all these new guys. I think in Desharnais' case, especially when they signed him, I mean, they paid him what they had to pay him to be close to market value and get him to come, because he's not going to come and play for nothing. But they didn't sign him thinking he's a finished product and he's going to step into our third pair and everything's going to be great. I think they knew what they were getting here, a player with incredible tools and potential to fill out his game. But it's very, you know, the project is only starting. Like, it's just five games and he's played three. It's going to be a long time before we know what Vincent Desharnais can be. But I think if there's anybody who can take him to another level, it's this staff with Adam Foote and Sergei Gonchar in particular. And it's all within the context of the structure with which Tocchet wants this team to play. And structure is a word you hear Tyler Myers mention mm-hmm. all the time, that when you play within the structure and you eliminate a lot of the uncertainty, and you build dependability into your team because everybody understands what they need to do, it makes it so much easier to play and try to be your best. And that's what Myers has become. Does Desharnais get there? Who knows? We're really early days, but for a guy that size who can move the way he does and also, you know, plays the right side, I think there's a massive, literally and figuratively, a massive upside there.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, if literally there is massive upside there. And I would say the same thing. We spoke to him at training camp, and he said he understood that it was going to take time. And he referenced how Myers went from being the player he was in game one of last year to game 82 and how much improvement he made. So let's give it some time to see where Desharnais comes out. As far as fitting into that defensive structure, you had a chance to see Erik Brännström in person tonight. And you won't believe, Ian, how many messages we got in our text inbox talking about how good he was tonight and how impressed Canucks fans were. What did you think of Brännström, seeing him in person?
Yeah, well, I thought he was much better tonight than he was in his first game. And I think tonight we saw the best of his strengths, right? We saw a guy who's mobile and can handle the puck and can move the puck quickly and can skate the puck at times out of trouble. But just a guy who, if he has time to make a play, he can help you get out of your own zone and push the game down or up the ice. And you know, Tocchet mentioned that this morning, that if you can get the game out of your own end and into the neutral zone and then into the other team's end, that's more than half the battle. And I'm paraphrasing. He didn't use that cliche. But, you know, just it's so important if you can get the puck out. Now, you know, at what cost? And everybody has weaknesses to go with their strength. And obviously, you know, Brännström is a smaller guy. We saw he got a run over tonight was it Couturier who ran him? I can't even remember. Somebody flattened him, and that's going to happen. And if you get into, prolonged D zone coverage where you're playing, you know, a half court game and the other team is controlling the puck, it's probably not the best environment for him. But, you know, he's another guy at age 25 who can still adapt and change and get better. I think I don't know that he would be playing if Derek Forbert were here. In fact, he probably wouldn't be, right? Because we know that the team likes lefties on the left side and righties on the right side. But I think whether he's in the lineup or part of the team, he is, it seems, a natural fit for a depth guy. And I'm doing air quotes for depth guy, whatever that means, because of his skill set. Because, you know, they have these guys who are massive. Basically, everybody other than the first pairing are big guys. Noah Juulsen is the smallest of them. I think he's 210 pounds. So they have lots of size. Well, now they have another guy whose strengths are something other than just, you know, size and physicality and combativeness around his net and protecting the front of his net. Now you have somebody who's got slightly different tools, and I think those tools were on display tonight, and he looked very good. I agree with the people who are, you know, texting you and calling you about him. I thought he was very good, but again, like, now you need 20 more of these games if he gets the chance to do that, or 40 more. But again, it's, you know, in this environment with the structure that is around him, and that's probably something that has really come for the Canucks these last two games in Florida and here, is just they're starting to look like the team they were last year. With that structure around him and this coaching staff, you know, again, he's a guy, and especially for somebody who basically was a forced take back. You know, it's not necessarily that the Canucks wanted him, but they had to take something back to shed that Tucker Poolman contract and get out of the LTIR straitjacket. So they got back this guy that they knew they would have a chance to work with, and we'll see what he can do with the staff that's here. But most other defensemen have done pretty well with the staff who's here.
Ian, I know you got to run. You got to go finish your article, which we can't wait to read after a 3-0 Canucks win in Philly against the Flyers. Great stuff as always, and we look forward to chatting with you on Tuesday when the Canucks face the Chicago Blackhawks in Chicago.
Yeah, the plot has changed here quite a bit.
Yes,
the last 72 hours, hasn't it? But we'll see. They're set up now. They're doing a lot of good things. I think, you know, I said after the last game, it wouldn't surprise me if they're set up now to win out in Philadelphia and Chicago, and certainly they took care of business tonight. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's certainly positive the way their identity seems to be coming back, and they're starting to look a lot more like that 50-win team than the one we saw in the first week of the season.
Yeah, it's also amazing what two wins will do early in the season as well after four straight losses, three straight losses. Great stuff as always, Ian. Get to Chicago safely as well.
Thanks, guys. Good night.
Good night. That is Ian McIntyre. Stay tuned for his latest on Sportsnet.ca, recapping what happened in Philly against the Flyers. The next Canucks game is Tuesday from Chicago as the Canucks wrap up their road trip. And they have a chance, Bick, to make this, you know, 3 wins in 4 games on the road.
6 points on a road trip, on a 4-game road trip. That's a huge positive. And now you've made this road trip positive because you got in 4.
Make it a success. To me, it's success for this team. 500 road trips, you'll take it.
Yeah.
But I think this is a team that our expectation should be. Can they get just a bit over 500? Is it 5 points, 6 points? Like, that's what I want to see regularly on, like, multi-game points road trips. 1 or 2 games, I mean, it's, you know, whatever. But on 4 or 5 or anything like that, get more points than 500?
It's just so funny how the parallels to the start of this season have matched the parallels to the last season, because they get that win in Florida, And that's the same conversation we were having. It's 4 points in four, and they go into go finish this road trip in Nashville. It's like, hey, well, why not get 6-5 and really make it a positive? And they came back home, and everyone was fired up all of a sudden.
Yeah.
It's like, well, they go do this challenging road trip at the start of the year, and now you can start believing to the start, and the second game back at home was a positive. It's 5-0 versus St. Louis. And now here you are. It's a, there was a little skepticism in the beginning part of the season when you go 0-1-2.
But honestly, I think Canuck Nation needed a couple wins. Yeah. I think fans tonight can go to bed happy about whatever, and they can be chill tomorrow and not stress about Tuesday's game, because no matter what happens, this team at least is getting back on the right track. All right, that brings us to the end of the show. Thanks to everybody who's been listening and participating. Always a pleasure here on the show. Thank you all. And please be safe out there. I know it's been pretty tough, and I know for some people it's been really difficult with the waters. My thoughts are with those people. Our thoughts are with those people that have to go through a lot right now with the flood. Flooding issues in certain parts of the Lower Mainland and across the province. So our thoughts are with you. We wish you the best. Please be safe out there and enjoy the rest of your weekend. We'll be back at it again on Monday for the regular shows. People Show at 3, Canucks Central at 4, the next game on Tuesday. It's Satyar Shah, Bick Nazar. Special thanks to Fast Eddie Gregory, our producer, and all of you for listening to the Canucks Central post-game show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment on the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650.